The headlines this hour, the giant oil flow into the Gulf of Mexico enters its 37th day. Also ahead this hour, Israel's prime minister receives Obama's invitation to talks on common security interests. And Iran slams Russia's support for U.S. position against Tehran's peaceful nuclear activities.
اجازه ندهند که ملت ایران اونها رو در اعداد و در صف دشمنان تاریخی خودش به حساب بیاورد.
Hello everyone, at 2200 hours GMT and 2:30 a.m. here in Tehran, you're watching Press TV.
Thanks a lot for joining us. More on our top story, and a British oil giant BP says it will decide on its new tricky procedure to choke off the current devastating oil spill in the Gulf of Mexico.
The new method follows repeated failures in fixing the problem, of course. This time, BP experts have planned to use undersea robots to inject heavy fluids and cement into the well to block the flow. The complex operation, called Top Kill, has never been tried at such depths. Experts have warned that this method might also fail. Meanwhile, an Associated Press witness account has revealed new information regarding the cause of the massive slick. The AP report says BP managers had displaced the well with salt water instead of mud without sealing the well with cement plugs. And this was how the catastrophic explosion occurred. Now a daily amount of 84,000 barrels of oil is pouring into the ocean. The oil slick has angered locals as it continues to cause environmental damage in U.S. coastal states.
Meanwhile, the U.S. State Department says National Guard troops being sent to the Mexican border will not be used to enforce U.S. immigration laws. It says the troops will stem the flow of guns and drugs across the frontier. The statement came after the Mexican government urged Washington not to use the additional troops to go after illegal immigrants. President Barack Obama on Tuesday authorized the deployment of up to 1,200 additional troops to border areas. Well, for more on that story, we're now joined by Alex Jones, an investigative journalist with Infowars.com, who's joining us via telephone from Austin, Texas. Mr. Jones, as always, thank you for joining our broadcast. Now, is this claim that this beefing up of troops isn't to actually catch illegal immigrants an attempt maybe at not further straining ties with Mexico after Arizona's immigration law was passed, or is the United States actually being honest this time?
Well, thanks for having me, first off. It's good to be here with you on your fine program. Number one, they repeat the same propaganda over and over again. Going back 4 years ago, President Bush, under incredible pressure from his own party and some Democrats, put a paltry 1,000 National Guard on the Texas, Arizona, New Mexico, California border, on our 2,000 miles southwestern border. But he wouldn't allow the troops to have bullets in their firearms. And he wouldn't allow them to engage in stopping the millions of illegals that are pouring across our southern border. So the government's always saying, give your rights up, you know, or the boogeyman made-up terrorists are going to get you. But meanwhile, they leave the border wide open. So that was always something that people could point out, that Homeland Security was really only interested in controlling the American people and setting up a domestic police state. They weren't concerned with really protecting the nation, from these manufactured threats. And Obama's doing the same thing. He's dispatching them because the crime level, the ranchers being murdered, the police being attacked and killed. Mexico is in a massive war with drug cartels. It is officially a failed state. It has almost completely collapsed. I interviewed a state senator in Texas last year who, and later it came out in mainstream newspapers, that martial law has been secretly declared by the U.S. government on the 2,000-mile border. And so this is just a beefing up of that martial law system because Mexico is collapsing. But they're still letting foreigners pour in through the border. And so they are actually, you know, politically putting the troops down there, partially to try to earn some points with the American people that are so concerned about Mexico collapsing. But also, it's there because the federal government realizes that the situation in Mexico has gotten completely out of control.
Well, sir, some see this move as long overdue, which you may or may not agree with, but because of the immense pressure on border guards to catch human smugglers, illegal immigrants, and drug traffickers. So then, is any militarization of the border set to solve any of those issues?
Well, number one, you're right. I mean, when you say that some say that this is long overdue, there's only three things under our Constitution the federal government can do. And one of them is control the border. You know, we have massive militarization of our police. We have regular army being dispatched at checkpoints in the United States, totally illegal, completely unconstitutional. And meanwhile, they will never put borders troops on the borders where they're supposed to be. I mean, any sovereign country has its military on its borders. That's where they're supposed to be. And so this is long overdue and needs to be done. And I don't know if it's going to stem the tide of the human smugglers and the crime and the murder and, you know, lawless people from all over Latin America predominantly and others who are fleeing justice in their own countries. No, they can come to the United States and to one of 800 sanctuary cities and be left alone. They can do whatever they want. And so once you get to the U.S., you can basically just blend in and get away with whatever crimes you've committed in other countries. And so that's another problem. But we need more like 50,000 troops on our southern border, and 20,000 conservatively is what experts have looked at and said on our northern border, instead of having 100,000 troops in Iraq and 100,000 in Afghanistan and hundreds of thousands all over the world. We need our troops right here in the United States protecting our border like they're supposed to do instead of policing and invading the rest of the planet. And so that's why Obama's being forced to do this, because Mexico has embarrassed him. Last week we had the Mexican president, Felipe Calderon, in the Congress telling the Congress to restrict our Second Amendment and to ban all semi-automatic firearms from the American people. Again, the whole situation is deteriorating.
I'd like to pick up on the last point you just made. Felipe Calderon has asked that the U.S. stem the flow of arms entering Mexico from the U.S. Is that likely to occur, or is it true, as many are saying, that Obama isn't really looking out for Mexican interests?
Well, look, most of the weapons the drug cartels have on record are bought from the Germans, or they're bought from the Mexican military, who gets billions of dollars in U.S. aid. The Mexican military, the Mexican police are full of people who've been compromised and bought off of the drug cartels, and upwards of 90% of the weapons are fully automatic. You can't buy fully automatic, you know, firearms here in the U.S. And so these are military weapons. Some Mexican citizens do come here and buy small arms to protect themselves. They don't have a Second Amendment in Mexico. And so when the Justice Department promotes assault weapons bans in the name of protecting Mexico, that they're doing that in concert with the Mexican government. And so this is basically Mexico and the U.S. Justice Department scapegoating our right to keep and bear arms for the problems in Mexico. Mexico has a complete gun ban for their citizens, but they've had 23,000 murders in the last year and a half down there. So again, our government's trying to use the situation in Mexico as a pretext to disarm the American people, and it's not going to happen.
All right, well, Mr. Alex Jones, we will have to leave it there for now. Mr. Alex Jones, investigative journalist with Infowars.com, joining us there on the line from Austin. Sir, as always, thank you very much for your insight.
Thank you.
Remaining in the U.S., U.S. Republicans have called for a special prosecutor to probe whether White House aides broke the law by offering a Senate candidate a job if he quit his race. Democratic Representative Joe Sestak said in February that the White House offered him a job to drop out of his ultimately successful primary challenge to veteran Senator Arlen Specter. Republicans have charged that such an offer could have violated federal law. Democrats have increasingly called on SESTAC to clarify exactly what transpired ahead of the critical November elections. Republican senators are urging U.S. Attorney General Eric Holder to appoint a special prosecutor to investigate the issue now. The U.S. is trying to get itself closer to Israel in a bid to win the hearts of the Jewish lobbies in Washington.
Well, the White House Chief of Staff Rahm Emanuel has invited the Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu to the White House.
On behalf of the President, you will be in Canada, and he has asked me to extend the invitation to you to come visit him at the White House for a working meeting to discuss both our shared security interests as well as our close cooperation on seeking peace between Israel and its neighbors.
Emmanuel delivered the invitation on Wednesday during a private visit to Israel. Experts say U.S. President Barack Obama made the move under the pressure of Israeli lobby groups and Congress. Obama will host Netanyahu on Tuesday next week. The two leaders last met in March. Later, Israeli officials announced new settlement construction in the occupied West Bank. The announcement further delayed the start of peace talks. Well, Iran's president has criticized Russia's stance over Tehran's peaceful nuclear activities.
Mahmoud Ahmadinejad says Iranians are not sure anymore if the Russians take their side.
اونها رو در اعداد و در صف دشمنان تاریخی خودش به حساب بیاورد.
Ahmadinejad criticized Russia for backing the U.S. and supporting a new round of sanctions against Tehran. He added that it's not acceptable for Moscow to say it has no choice but to give in to pressure over Iran's nuclear program. The Iranian president also warned the U.S. to be careful not to miss out on the opportunities offered by the Tehran Joint Nuclear Swap Declaration. Ahmadinejad said the declaration brokered by Turkey and Brazil could be the last chance to get things right.
Obama باید بداند این بیانیه یک فرصت تاریخی برای اوست که نشان دهد میخواهد تغییر ایجاد بکند. بداند اگر از این فرصت استفاده نکند من بعید میدانم که ملت ایران در آینده به خود اجازه بدهد که فرصت جدیدی در اختیار این آقا قرار بدهد.
In other news, huge shipments belonging to NATO forces in Afghanistan are struck in Central Asia. The blockage is due to a dispute between Tajikistan and Uzbekistan. The cargo is mainly non-military materials such as fuel and food to support its military operations in Afghanistan. Tajikistan and Uzbekistan have a long-standing disagreement over cross-border water use. Uzbekistan sometimes blocks trains from entering Tajikistan to put pressure on its neighbor. The Central Asian route has been significant for NATO. This after several carriages of the alliance entering from the Pakistani border came under repeated militants' attacks. Well, as Germany is sending additional soldiers to Afghanistan, many more are returning home traumatized by combat operations.
The German defense minister has visited a new trauma center at Berlin's Armed Forces Hospital. Stefan Herrmann now reports.
German Defense Minister Karl-Theodor zu Guttenberg visited the newly established trauma center of the Bundeswehr Hospital in Berlin. Soldiers returning from missions abroad will be treated for post-traumatic stress disorder, as numbers are on the rise. Between 2006 and 2008, the cases of soldiers suffering from PTSD have more than trebled, rising from 83 to 245.
Jeder kennt die schrecklichen
The people have seen the terrible pictures from Kunduz, where fellow soldiers die or get seriously injured, where soldiers have been under heavy fire or even injured themselves. These are entirely new experiences for the German armed forces.
Only last month, 7 German soldiers were killed in combat and 13 injured in Afghanistan. And as the German army is more often involved in military operations, the number of those suffering from traumas is growing too. According to the head of the trauma center, Peter Zimmermann, half of the soldiers returning home are heavily distressed by their experiences. 12% of those are in need of psychological medical attention. The new trauma center with 45 employees will help the soldiers to reintegrate into society.
This is of prime importance. We must bring the issue of traumatization and post-traumatic stress disorder into the limelight of public debate. It can help us discuss the matter more profoundly.
Last week, the 5 leading German peace research institutes concluded that the NATO's mission in Afghanistan has failed, as it did not bring security and stability to the Afghan people. And according to the German Institute for Economic Research, the deployment to Afghanistan costs 3 times as much as the official figures show. With Germany facing tough fiscal measures, many call for cutting costs from the military budget. The Association of Armed Forces is alarmed.
Chancellor Merkel's recent government declaration promising the soldiers the support of the German people must have more than an ideological meaning.
Defense Minister Sir Gutenberg already said German troops would begin accompanying Afghan soldiers on patrol to combat militants together, a move that will put them at even greater risks. Additional troops are expected to be deployed in July, bringing the total number of German soldiers in Afghanistan to more than 5,000. With the German military increasingly engaged in combat operations abroad, there is a significant rise in traumatized soldiers returning home. But the military is already short of psychiatrists and has little experience in dealing with the problem, a problem that is set to become more urgent in the coming years. Stefan Herrmann for Press TV in Berlin.
You're watching the World News here on Press TV. A quick reminder of our top stories this hour. The giant oil flow into the Gulf of Mexico enters its 37th day. Israel's prime minister receives Obama's invitation to talks on common security interests. And Iran slams Russia's support for U.S. position against Tehran's peaceful nuclear activities.
دشمنان تاریخی خودش به حساب بیاورد.